When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. Time to hit you with the king topic of the day, and it is the Yankees losing Juan Soto. Yesterday we discussed the Mets gaining Juan Soto and what a great day it was for them. And obviously we had a lot of conversation about the Yankees' perspective as well, BT, but more specifically today from the Yankees' perspective for me, this is on Hal Steinbrenner. And it's not just about losing Juan Soto. We've since learned, Heyman cleared it up, that the Yankees didn't have the quote-unquote chance to match, but whatever their best and final was, however you want to say it, it just wasn't enough. You know, whether they fell short having to add the extra year for about the same amount of money, the bonus money, the sweet stuff, whatever it may be, it wasn't enough. The Yankees operation, not only the offer, the Yankees operation wasn't enough to keep Juan Soto in the Bronx. And for me, that's on ownership, and it predates just Juan Soto, whether it is, you know, not getting Bryce Harper back in the day, as Susan referenced. We had Susan Wolman on. Check it out on the Free Odyssey app in case you missed it. Whether it is trading for Giancarlo Stanton, making that mistake. Whether it is not having the highest offer for Aaron Judge, but being fortunate enough the Judge took less money to come back. These are all things to me that add up to Hal Steinbrenner and Yankee front office and ownership just not doing enough the way that we became accustomed to it over the years under George.
Well, number one, it's George is gone for a long time, and people need to understand that. Most of us do, so I know it's a point of reference, understood, but that's expired for me. I mean, it's a different sport. There's different ownership groups which dwarf the overall net worth of Hal Steinbrenner. One is Cohen, Guggenheim Group as well. Listen, I think it's okay to certainly at this stage still lament missing out on a player like Juan Soto. He's a tremendous hitter. Where I push back is questioning the efforts or the lengths that Hal went to. Now, hey, 760 over 16 versus 765 over 15 with the $15 million disparity in signing bonus and the suite or the personalization, the touch by Alex and Steve Cohen compared to maybe more of a business, straightforward approach by the Yankees. It's all well and good. I think that the longer the Yankee fan, the quicker, really, that the Yankee fan is able to get some separation between what really mattered to Juan Soto and what did not, I think the clearer the picture comes as to how you can move forward. And I've given you 3, 4, 5 player options to do that, and I think make them different, but possibly make them more whole and more effective, more balanced come October. It can beat you in more ways, not just hitting home runs by two guys, basically. And I think that, for me, Sal, you know, the Hal Steinbrenner stuff, I'm good with Hal. I'm good with Hal because I do think that there's a bit of a misrepresentation on what he's done. You know, I know that Judge took less and Soto wasn't going to do that, but he got Gerrit Cole. I know Gerrit Cole wanted to be a Yankee, but he still got him. Yeah. The Stanton contract, a gazillion dollars back in the day when he was 27, he did that. So, and they're always top three in payroll. And I believe they're going to have 3, 4, 5 moves, a flurry of moves that will put them there again this year.
Right.
I'm okay with Hal.
Right, but you would even think that after, okay, they lose Soto, you know what? We're going hard after everybody else.
I think they're
everybody
going to.
Else. Well, oh, yeah. I mean, Cashman came out yesterday and said we're not going to spend like drunken sailors.
Watch. Okay. Now, do you believe him, or is that just him trying to put a little flair up there to the other teams?
He didn't have to say that. I mean, you know, he could play it however he wants, be behind closed doors or, you know, be realistic. You didn't have to come out and say we're not going to spend like drunken sailors. It doesn't mean the Yankees you aren't going to add anybody. What's the breaking point for you? Like, what if Christian Walker signs with the Mariners? How does, like, the Yankees have to get now, have to, bare minimum. They needed Walker anyway with Soto. So bare minimum, it should be Bellinger and Walker. If they don't get both, is that, like, do you start to have a problem with Yankee front office then?
Well, again, it's a good question. I think it really depends on why they don't choose the Yankees. If the Yankees are competitive with their offer and maybe even in certain situations offer more and they just want to, you know, the Christian Walker, I don't know what kind of roots he has in Arizona, but it's obviously easier to shoot up to the Pacific Northwest than to trek 2,800 miles across the country. I don't know what's in the player's heart, so I would have to be fair and I'd have to get that answer before I dole out the proper amount of criticism. Let's say Walker goes up to Seattle. Then what you do, you got to have a plan C. And my plan C would be, all right, Bellinger, who's also part of plan B, but more in the outfield.
Yep.
Plan C would be you come and you play first base. And then maybe it's Arenado with third. Maybe it's certainly Jazz back to second. It's Volpe at short. I've got to get Judge out of center field, but I don't know. Maybe I just go bonkers on Kyle Tucker, which is something I think they should probably do anyway. The Astros right now don't want to give him more than 6 years. Kyle Tucker is 27 years of age. He could run. He's a 3-4 hitter, 3-4-5 hitter. So I would think 3 for the Yankees. Put Judge 2, put Tucker 3. Like, there's other ways to do this. Maybe you trade Dominguez. Maybe you trade for Crochet. Maybe you sign one of these top pitchers. The Yankees are going to restock.
It seems like, we'll get back to the calls here in a second, 888-808-1019. It seems like you're almost excited about the new challenge.
I am.
That the Yankees have.
It's an interesting observation. I am, but it's not even like, it's not coping. It's the reality of it. Like, he's gone.
Right.
He's not here. He's not going to be waltzing up the home plate.
Oh, he's here. He's here. He's not there. He's
here. That's true. Touche. That's true. He's not going to be waltzing up the home plate, doing his dance with the Soto shuffle in front of Aaron Judge. Just not. So you've got to turn the page. And listen, sometimes there is a page to, like, when you turn the page, you've got to convince yourself out of sheer desperation that the page is going to be interesting. It's going to be different. Okay, but I sincerely, and I'll either be proven right or wrong, I sincerely believe that they can, and I truly believe that they will, build a better 1-9 opening day next year than they had this year.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Tony is in the Bronx. What's up, Tony?
What's up, guys? BT, I gotta tell you, I am the happiest Yankee fan in the world. And let me just get to my point quickly.
Okay.
I always said, I'm gonna tell you right now, I always told you from the beginning that we would get him, unfortunately. Unfortunately, I kept saying, because I did not want Soto. All the money that he was gonna get, we can go ahead and get 3-4 players, restock, like you said, and then go at it from there. Now it's a serious rivalry. Sal, you can have him, Sal. I didn't want him in the first place. Way too much money. He doesn't play defense. I can go on and on.
Yeah.
But still,
you can. And the more you go on, the more foolish you'd sound. But go ahead.
We got more wins. We're going to have more wins than you. I guarantee you, Sal. Right. And you can go ahead and bank that.
I don't care. I don't care. You just lost the biggest one. Head to head, you wanted Soto.
For the Subway
Soto
series.
Well, you wanted Soto.
I didn't want Soto.
Right.
Everybody wanted Soto. Yeah. So all the Mets fans wanted Soto.
Yeah, you're right. Why don't you want the better player? I mean, good luck building out a team the tough way.
Go get Walker. Are you kidding me? Now he's at home. He's relaxed. I was just going to see him get better. Oh, he'll get better at
Tony, here's the big difference.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Here's the big difference you're missing. You didn't want Juan Soto because you knew it would prevent the Yankees from spending.
I'm not missing anything, Sal. I've won, okay? You can have them and you stop.
I can't do it. I'm not going to yell at you, but I can't do the talking over, and I'm trying to get through to you. You're missing the point, Tony. You didn't want the Yankees to get Juan Soto because you knew it was going to prevent them from getting other players. That's not the case with the Mets. It's not going to prevent the Mets from spending elsewhere. It's not my problem. That's a you problem. Steve Cohen's going to spend everywhere else. Now he's got to do it, but the money is not, oh, well, we got Soto and now we're broke, where it would have been the case with the Yankees because they have already spent on Judge and Stanton and Cole and Rodon and on and on. Their money is spent. The Mets have more money to spend. They're richer than the Yankees and they're set up better financially than the Yankees. So Soto to the Mets is a better fit in more ways than just, well, we want the great player. No, it's not going to prevent them from doing other things. That's a key part here. ideally, BT, you'd want Soto back and then build it out around it.
Yeah, but the 15 years, and again, I guess you'd do it anyway, but that's not appealing. I mean, yeah, it's fine. All right, 26, 27, 28, you deal with it, 29, 30. You start stretching this thing out. It's a long contract. And I think it's going to be, at the end, it's going to be a bad one, like most contracts are. It's not going to be unique to Juan Soto. I think from a baseball perspective, I can present a pretty strong case that he'll never have a season quite like the one he just had.
Right.
Unless he gets massive protection behind him. Like, I don't know exactly what influence, like, literally, statistically, Judge's presence had on Soto. But I know it was something. And, you know, maybe there's another move coming for the Mets, but it's not going to be Judge. And maybe Soto's just entering his prime and he doesn't need Judge as much. But it's a little bit of a different ballpark. Obviously, right field's a little more spacious from a defensive perspective and also from a hitting perspective. You know, I think that it's fairly possible that we saw... Oh, my arm is killing me. I can't even scratch it. God dang, it's killing me. I know that was weird that I just said that, but I can't even scratch it. I think that last year may have been Juan Soto's best season ever. No.
I might at some point.
I can't even. I'm going for the MRI. I was telling Si. I think I did something.
Is it your right shoulder or left shoulder?
It's actually my left shoulder, which is weird because it's a rotator, I think, or I don't know what the hell it is. I'm going for probably get stuffed in the MRI tube today. But, I mean, do you think that Juan Soto definitely hits 41 by? He could. But it's not like he's a 41. No, I agree with that, too. You don't need it, but.
Look, I think that, like, the Yankees can still build a good team. It's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to build a better team than the one that they had losing the best player, the better player, especially with the potential restrictions that they may have. Whereas the Mets are adding Soto and trying to build a better team. And I don't want to make this a Yankee thing, but I just find it ridiculous that anybody would be excited from a Yankee perspective, like our last caller, Tony, that they lost Juan Soto. Like, that's stupid. The reason why he was saying it is because he knew that it was going to mean all in on Soto and they needed to do other things. Well, that's been a problem in the making for years with the Yankees. It has nothing to do with Juan Soto. Soto made them better. That is a fact. It is factual. Pre-Juan Soto, they didn't get to the World Series. They get Juan Soto. He has a great year. Judge has a career year. They get to the World Series. So it's going to be hard now losing that presence in that lineup and then getting a team that's better. Now you're going to get back to where you were with Soto, and then on top of that, that's a lot of work to do.
It's a lot of work to do, and I've got confidence the Yankees will hit the right buttons here. Maybe not all of them because they haven't hit all the right buttons in a long time, but they're bringing guys in. You're going to have some new horses. I'm excited to see it. But here's the one thing where I think it gets a little misrepresented. Like, let's not make it seem like the Yankees were 79 wins, 82 wins. I don't mean the 1 year, the outlier when Judge got hurt a couple of years ago. 86 wins, this little tiny middling of the division team. Yankees have won 101 games recently without Juan Soto. Twice they won 99 games without Juan Soto. Like, I know Juan Soto definitely enhances the lineup, there's no doubt, but the Yankees... Like, they have a recipe that this entire century, for the most part, I'm not even taking it back into the 90s, has won 90-plus games without Juan Soto. That's a fact.
BT and Sal on the Fan. More your calls when we come back. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal back on the Fan. We'll get back to the calls. We'll have Brian Baldinger coming up in about 15 minutes or so. So we'll do some football there. And then at 1 o'clock, BT, we do have to talk some Giants football here. Unfortunately, the Giants are, an embarrassment. But I want to get into what they're going to do next with these guys. And potentially Bill Belichick, who's looming out there. I know we got to have that conversation. Haven't had it. We'll do that at 1 o'clock after Baldy at 12:40. The starting pitcher market in free agency is fascinating to me. Hoff is just saying that there was a Morosi tweet saying the price of starting pitching is so high right now that... what was it, Hoff, exactly? You have that up that a lot of teams are uncomfortable?
Multiple MLB team execs tell me prices for free agent pitchers are high. This is for Morosi. And relatively few clubs are willing to pay them.
Okay.
That favors you guys.
Well... What? Meaning that if you want somebody, just pay them more money? Yeah, but here's the thing. I don't think that's a good investment. And what I was going to say is there are a ton. Like, if you look at the free agent outfielders, there aren't any.
No, Bader's the best center fielder.
Which is ridiculous. Which is why I thought it was imperative to get Soto from a Mets perspective. At least the Yankees have Judge. Anyway, point is, you look at the starting pitchers, there are a lot of arms. Like, would Nate Eovaldi interest you?
Where is he slotted in the rotation? Is he number two behind Garrett Cole?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not caught up anymore. I used to.
Yeah.
I'm not caught up in the numbers. But obviously, whoever it is for the Yankees is behind Garrett Cole. They have a true ace.
But from a Mets perspective, like, what's the difference where he pitches?
Senga.
Yeah, but either way, Eovaldi. Like, do you like Eovaldi?
All right, I like him. Okay. I don't love him. I like him.
All right, Burns, Freeze.
Love him.
We know about those guys.
Love him.
Flaherty, Manaea.
I like him.
Quintana.
I like Manaea.
Like, I like.
No, forget about Quintana.
Yeah, I like Quintana. He was a good.
Really? No, for the Yankees or
no,
for the Mets?
For either. I'm just saying as far as a pitcher.
I know. I think you guys need to upgrade, too. I know we battled down the stretch, and he was very, very good.
Arms and like Walker Buehler's another one.
I'd rather have him on a 2-year deal. He's got electric stuff compared to Quintana.
Nick Pivetta. These are just like, I'd be okay with any of these arms. I think you look at some of these arms and just value innings and depth in a rotation. Again, not that everybody's a top name. We know the two top names were Burns and Freed, but there are a lot of arms out there. Like, all right, let's say the Mets don't get Eovaldi. Or they don't get Walker Buehler. I'd be okay with Eovaldi. Or let's say they don't get either of them. I'd be okay with Manaea. I want Manaea to come back. But I'd be okay with taking a flyer on Pivetta or even Jack Flaherty. I don't love Flaherty, but like as a fourth, fifth, third, fourth, whatever. Like,
yeah, well, if that's the case, then don't you think either team, not the Yankees because they got rid of him, but shouldn't the Mets have been more competitive for Severino? If the market's going this way and the A's were able to give him 3 or 67, well, hell, you saw what he did with the Yankees when he was healthy. You know, I don't mean the year before. I mean before
right,
that.
Right.
You saw what he did for you guys, and he was pretty good. I think he was better than you think he was. I think he was good.
Yeah.
367, you know, he could flourish in New York. I mean, maybe they should have kicked the tires on that.
Well, I guess it's a great question. That I don't know what these guys are going to get, but at Severino's price, what he got, I'm out. I didn't want him at that price. So if you tell me that, you know, Nick Pivetta is going to get more than that, then I'd be out. I just feel like there are good options. And maybe that's why the Mets foresaw this. They went and talked to these guys and were thinking, oh, we're not paying X amount for this pitcher.
You got to keep
Manaea.
Let's
go get Clay Holmes. Yeah, well,
let's not overthink it. Manaea needs to be a Met.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't even count on Sasaki, but if you ever got him, it changes everything. But yeah, show Manaea minimum. I agree with you that more importantly right now from a Mets perspective than bringing back Pete Alonso, it's got to be Manaea. They need Sean Manaea to come
back. He fit, and he was really good. And he very well might be an ace if that new, you know, that new windup. Now, I want to see if that new windup is physically sustainable. You throw it across your body. That's something, you know, Chris Sale, obviously, it works. Well, Chris Sale's had a lot of injuries as well. And I hope that Manaea could do it for 30 or 32 starts, unlike the 18 or so he did when he kind of injected that mid flow last year. But he was filthy with that new windup. Like, that's a guy. Yeah. I mean, that guy's an ace.
Yeah.
That guy.
And even if he's not that exact thing, you just hope he's durable and maybe even a notch below that. You take him for 4 years, 100-something million. Yeah, 100-something million dollars. All right, BT, tell him.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
the Fan, 888-808-1019. Frankie's in Bay Ridge. What's up, Frankie?
What's up, guys?
Hey, Frank. What's happening?
Hey, you guys. Hey, you guys forgot to announce the breaking news. They just put a portrait in of Sal in Juan Soto's suite for his family to look at. Sal.
Yeah.
Sal, I love you, Sal, but come on. Like, you have become the poster boy of this Met debacle. Like, 2 years ago, late August, early September, you took the crown of getting the NL East. You remember that? You're mm-hmm. jumping around. Now you're in the Rico Bronya podcast, right? Screaming at 11 at night, right? On a Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. Where when the Mets are out of it and the Phillies still beat you guys in the NL East, okay? We're gonna keep popping that up, right?
I don't know. Wait, Frankie, what? You're confusing me.
Don't hang up.
What are you talking about? The NL East is over. Was 2022. It's now 2024, yeah. About to be 2025.
You remember when you're jumping up and down on TV? Remember? Oh, the Mets, this is over, this and that.
No,
you
I didn't jump up and down on TV.
Sunday night.
All right, but let's move on from that. And then, Sunday night, the Mets on Juan Soto.
Yeah, so you should have learned. You should have learned it's more than just, we got Soto.
Frankie, team do you root for again? Which team do you root for again?
What? I'm a Yankee fan, and I'm happy today.
Why?
Well, I was happy Sunday night.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because this is why. Because if you're going to build a baseball team, I watched all of the Yankees last year, plus playoffs, okay? First of all, you have Aaron Judge in center field. You're going to sign Soto to play right. Now, Aaron Judge is only getting older. Then you're going to have everyone out of position, okay? Aaron Judge is a right fielder. You need a center fielder, and you need a left fielder. Mm-hmm. Okay, so did you watch Soto in the outfield last year?
Yeah.
Did you watch his defense?
Yeah, he's
did you
terrible.
Watch him defensively?
He's terrible.
Okay.
He's terrible, Frank. Yeah, I would never pay him that money.
Are you being sarcastic?
Yes,
you're
I
being
am.
Sarcastic.
Frankie, let me just ask you a quick question.
Yeah, you are being sarcastic.
Let me just ask you a quick question. Who was the Yankees' best player in the postseason?
Maybe Giancarlo?
Frankie.
Stan was pretty good.
Frankie.
He could clip you, but not a bad answer,
Frankie.
Buddy.
It's pretty close. Let me ask you this question.
Who was it, Frankie? Who was it?
Okay, Juan Soto was up there.
What team does Juan Soto play for now?
Sad.
The defense rests, Frankie. Bye-bye, buddy.
See, Frank, where you lost me, Frank, was, and I'm kind of with you in terms of it's just a very, I don't know, it's an uneven fit, and Judge's age does complicate things, and yeah, all right, for the baseball reasons, but I mean, to get on these guys for celebrating on the Rico when they get the news in real time, are you kidding me? I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, come on, if you can't be excited
that's
about
ridiculous.
The acquisition of Juan Soto. No, nobody ever said that that's it, the Mets are going to win the World Series. We know that they have to build a team out. Guess what? I'm confident they will. Do you know why? Because I was confident that the owner was going to get Juan Soto when nobody thought it was possible. When you Yankee fans laughed and mocked and called and said, what are you, out of your mind? You think he's going to choose the lowly Mets? Yeah, I do. And guess what? I was right. And it doesn't mean the Yankees can't build a better team moving forward. They might be able to build a better team. What it does mean is the Yankees lost their best player from the postseason a year ago. And the same people, and Frankie was one of them, that are going to say that Giancarlo Stanton was their best player, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he just say in the same breath that he doesn't like Juan Soto because of how he plays in the field? At least he plays the field! Giancarlo Stanton can't play. He's not a baseball player. So before we start to say that Juan Soto stinks and he's old and right field and it's not going to age well, you're talking about Giancarlo Stanton as if he's a ball player, which he isn't. He, A, can't stay healthy, and B, he doesn't have a position. You just at least have to be consistent, BT.
He is clutch, though.
Yeah.
He's clutch. Oh, man.
I mean,
Frankie, what are you doing here, Frank? Come on.
You got to be fair.
Everybody's in a good mood today. Come on. What are you doing, Frankie?
You got to be fair. You want to? I mean, he's worried about the division prediction a couple years ago. Hey, Frankie, I got news for you. Move on, bro. Move on. It's about to be 2025. The Mets, I get it. I know you're hurting.
I don't use that tone with us, man.
You took it like a man yesterday.
I got it. You know what I got to see? I didn't see it yet. Go ahead. Listen.
Had you acted like Tony or Frankie, I would have had to get, a little more difficult.
No, I got to see this. Hold on. I've been waiting. Okay, so this is your grand entrance on... I did not see this yet. All right, where is
he?
Hold on.
SMR
I have to see this. Hold on. Oh, good God. Look at her. You
the full suit and everything.
Look at this. He does have the suit. This is funny. They did a good job with the studio lights in there.
Yeah, they scared the hell out of me with the confetti gun.
Just came down. Oh, God. You know what you should do? Honestly, I know you won't do it. You should wear it to Saturday night's main event.
No, I mean, that's actually not a bad idea.
You should wear it to Saturday night's main event. You took it from Harley Race.
Yeah, I know. I know the whole thing was a bit from Harley Race. Whatever. But, like, honestly, BT, it was fun
yesterday.
Look at
your face here. Look where I just stopped
at. Yeah, I do look like an idiot. Point is, you took it like a man yesterday.
Yep.
And you weren't alone. There were a lot of Yankee fans that said, hey, you know what?
Move on, baby.
But to try to minimize what Juan Soto is and that the Met fans shouldn't be excited about it, you sound like an idiot. And I know why you sound like that. Because you're hurt. Like, you may not be BT, ultimately. He is. Frankie's bothered by
it. But I don't think you wanted him from the get-go.
Right.
I think he's maybe...
Juan Soto, period, you mean?
Listen, is he hurt or is he like a little...
There wasn't a Yankee fan
that the Met fan that the Mets took him.
There wasn't a Yankee fan that's walked the face of the earth that when they watch Juan Soto versus Gattis in the postseason in Cleveland.
No, listen, come on, we know.
One of the greatest at bats of all time.
No question.
The guy's an animal. He's a beast.
Yep.
And now he's a Met. But anyway, I wasn't going to take a victory lap. You see what I'm saying? Like, they start me and they get me riled up. I wasn't even going to do this.
You just try to do your job, Sal. People rev you up. They like when they rev you up. And I'll tell you one thing about you.
I wasn't taking victory laps.
No, you weren't. You should, but I think you were great about it. They know how to rev you up. That's the one thing. They know how to rev you up more than me. Like, your buttons are easier to push than mine. They are.
You sure about that? Let's find out.
You going to put it to the test? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that. That was funny, Frankie. Come on, Frankie. They got Soto.
We got to move it. I mean, geez.
You
got
to accept it.
All right, we'll have Baldy when we come back, and then we'll get back to your calls after that. BT and Sal back on the Fan. We're joined right now by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Boldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Baldy, unfortunately for both these New York teams, the most interesting thing to happen this past weekend was the plane flying over MetLife Stadium, basically saying Mara needs to clean up this mess, the dumpster fire, all that. Where are you at with evaluating this Giants team? And maybe less than the roster, but just Shane and Dable moving forward.
Well, I mean, it couldn't have been a bigger dumpster fire than having a field goal blocked with a chance to tie the game, at least to give the few fans left there a chance for maybe some overtime, a little bit more football. But, like, that sort of put the crown jewel on top of this disaster of the whole thing. It was awful. The quarterback only, you can't get the ball to your star player, Malik Nabers, again for the first 17 plays. You can't draw up a play for him. I saw Cincinnati put Jamar Chase in the backfield on the first play and throw him a hit screen on the first play of the game. The first run of the game was a fly sweep to Jamar Chase. Like, they couldn't find enough ways to get him the ball. Why can't the Giants do something just so simple as to just get Malik Nabers the ball in his hands?
Well, I think the answer is because they don't have a good quarterback. I think you basically start with that.
True, I can flip it to him in the backfield. I can hand it off to him on a run. I could do a lot of different things if you don't even trust the quarterback.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, he's not a good player. And, the offensive line is a mess. They can't keep anybody healthy. Runyon goes down last night. They got a backup playing left tackle. The right tackle is a backup player, even though he's the seventh pick in the draft. I mean, it's just, they can't keep their best players healthy. Dexter, Okereke, Deontay Banks. It's just falling apart. I don't know who some of these guys are playing on the defensive line right now. I mean, I studied this as hard as anybody, and you got to look up some of these guys that are playing out there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good chance, Paul, that they go 0-9 at home for the first time in the history of the NFL, which obviously there's only been a 17-game season for a couple of years. But
you don't think they're going to beat Baltimore this week?
Yeah. They're going to get absolutely crushed. Go ahead, Paul. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, honestly, like I'm not being a cynic here because that doesn't do anybody any good. But, sometimes teams come in, the Pro Bowl voting is going on, and all that stuff is coming up. Sometimes teams come into bad teams and they're like, here's where we're going to get our numbers. We're going to get our rushing numbers up. Derrick Henry's going to get back in MVP race. Lamar's going to get his numbers up for MVP. The sack numbers are going to come up. Like, this is where teams look at these kind of games. They're like, I'm coming to get my numbers this week. It's like a baseball player that goes 0-4 one day. Juan Soto goes 0-4.
Well, I'm going to go 4-for-4 tomorrow against that third-string right-hander, you know, that I'm going to go up against. I mean, that's kind of how these teams look at these games.
Interesting. Interesting way to look at it. Listen, I would ask you about this player for the Jets, but he was already there, so I'm going to keep it to the Giants, okay, even though both teams should, in theory, be in the market for a quarterback. Sam Darnold's been really, really good. So I need to know, need to know, number one, we all know the stats. What do you see on film? I know that the coach is very gifted in terms of drawing stuff up, and that's a part of it. But Darnold for the Giants, I mean, does that make any sense next year? Would you play that?
Well, I mean, look, I saw Sam the last 2 weeks. I've done the national radio game against both Arizona and the Falcons. I've seen him both weeks live, talked to him both weeks. Saw Daniel Jones last week. Saw him smiling for the first time, like, in about 6 years, you know?
Yeah.
But like, it's just, I would say yes, because he was almost flawless on Sunday. But it's such a difference in organization. Like, it's such a well-built team. It's, you know, you got Justin Jefferson, and, you know, you got Jordan Addison, and T.J. Hawkins, and Aaron Jones, and a good off, you know, they lose their starting left tackle. They go trade for one at the free agency deadline. Cam Robinson is a good player. Like, it's such a well-built team, well-coached team. If you told me that the Giants were going to be stable, well-coached, well-developed, like the money spent the right way, all that stuff, then I'd say, yeah, it's a good fit because he's playing great football right now. But if it's not, if it's going to be the same musical chairs and it's going to be just the way that they've operated, then he'll probably go backwards and not have the success we're watching right now.
But is the – I got you, and you laid out well. Is the real appreciable uptick in his performance – I mean, do you attribute that almost exclusively to scheme, or is Sam Darnold just better than many of us thought?
No, he's better than what you thought, but he's the player that came out of USC. He's a very good athlete. He's very smart. He's good arm. He's accurate.
Yeah.
The scheme, the players around him, you know, he made a couple throws the other day where, I mean, you had to be a great quarterback with good movement and mobility to make the plays that he made. The touchdown to Jordan Addison down the field for 50-something yards, I mean, he made that play himself by just being able to manipulate and move in the pocket.
Yeah.
Why would the Vikings even let him go? Like, I know this idea, oh, he's going to be a free... So McCarthy, who cares, J.J. McCarthy? The Vikings are 11-2. They're dominating with Sam Darnold. Why would they even let him go, Baldy?
Trade McCarthy and sign Darnold.
What's interesting about that is I spoke to the general manager there. He's a very sharp guy. And I said, you know, he goes, we're going to figure this out. We got plenty of time to figure this out. We're not in any rush right now. We just picked up Daniel Jones. Maybe we find something valuable in him, like with Sam. Maybe we find, like, if he takes him into the playoffs and plays well in the playoffs, they don't have to make any decision on McCarthy or anybody else. Like, they can figure out a medium price to keep Sam. Sam's loving it. Like, he loves living there. He loves the team, the coach. Like, he doesn't want to go. You know, now maybe a big contract someplace else makes him go, but I think they're going to try to keep him myself.
BT and Sal on the fan. We're talking with Brian Baldinger. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. One more from the Giants on me, Baldy. They can't have happen the way that it happened with Chicago. I've been saying for a while, either commit to Shane and Dable beyond just next year where you assume they're going to have a young quarterback, and that's obviously what Chicago did, or clean house now going in with one of the top picks, if not the top pick in the draft. Do you think that the top pick should have an impact on where they're at, deciding whether they keep Shane and Dable together beyond this year?
Well, I guess it depends on if the top pick, and if they're in that position. If they're in that position, it depends on who the quarterback is. I mean, Joe Burrow is out there, and he isn't. But, I mean, if you've got a real bona fide number one, or, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't know if it's Shadur or Cam Ward or whoever these, you know, whatever it is. If you really feel good about that, then I'd say start fresh. Just start fresh, you know, and rip it up. But you know, I don't want to kill, you know, Brian Dable here. Like, I just see the frustration in his face when the quarterback can't make a throw, make the read, all the things that, they have, like, it's not fair to him. He doesn't have Josh Allen here, you know, and he hasn't had it. So, like, I'm a little torn because I like Brian personally, and I think he can game plan, although I'm a little frustrated with some of the things I saw last week. But still, they got to draft better. They got to build the team better than they are. It always starts up front and in the trenches. They got to be better at team building than they have been. and then you could go from there. But I don't know. I mean, if they lose all these games, then you got to clean house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Baldy, we've seen, I don't want to overstate this, it's not like he's running around like Lamar, but the last couple of weeks we've seen a little bounce and a little mobility return for Aaron Rodgers, extending the pocket a little bit here. Listen, I don't want him back next year, but I'm also on the record that, you know, if it's a Gruden or, you know, if it's a Vrabel and they want to run it back once more with him, I'd obviously trust their football instincts. Are you seeing some stuff on film the last 2 to 3 games where you're like, all right, maybe he's getting a little healthier and maybe he's a little more viable than most of us thought at this point?
Well, he's definitely looks, you know, better the last 2 weeks. You know, they've had chances to win both games. The quarterback's supposed to drive you down the field against Seattle, down 26-21. Last week, you know, you have a chance to go up 2 scores in late in the fourth quarter, and, you know, you can't finish the drives. Now, their pre-snap penalties are off the charts ridiculous. They've had 25 of them in 13 games, and a bunch of them last week, they just killed their drives. But he's played a lot better. He's missed a couple throws that typically he does make, but he's rushing some things. The protection isn't great, but his mobility is much better. Made some, you know, some explosive throws. Garrett Wilson was a dart down the middle of the field against Jalen Ramsey, and the throw to, you know, Devontae in the middle of the field was a great read and great throw. Like, you got the explosive plays last week that they haven't had, and they all led to scores. And so they just can't finish games 3 weeks in a row against the Colts, Seattle, and Miami. They've had chances to win all of them, and a lot of that sometimes falls on the quarterback making those plays at the end of the game.
I mean, but their defense, Baldy, has been so bad all year long. I know Rodgers is the whipping boy, but come on. I mean, with that defense, I can't take it anymore with that Jet defense.
It's awful. Yeah. It's awful. What Tua just did to him, you know, what Anthony Richardson did to him, what Geno did to him. It's 3 weeks in a row where you just got to make a stop. You know, you can't, you know, they don't know what they're doing. That throw to Alec Pierce against the Colts still bothers me. Like, what Jalen Mills and Sauce were doing back there. Like, it's Anthony Richardson who's like, that guy, that's the last guy I'm bringing to the state fair to go get the biggest teddy bear. He's not going to have to milk cartons down. And you give him that 39-yard throw.
Thank you, Baldy. We appreciate your time, as always.
Thanks, Baldy.
Frustration, guys. Frustration.
Yeah, tell me about it. I mean, at least you're watching the other games. We're locked into these freaking Jets and Giants for weeks. The both of them. Yeah. I mean, look, we do watch the other stuff. We're going to have to now.
I'm going to go back and watch Matt Stafford put up 44, okay?
Yeah.
What a game. That was some game. That was fun.
Exactly. The Rams playing well. All right, thank you, Baldy. We appreciate
it. See you, brother.
You bet, man.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldy, your host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo, game day be delicious. When we come back, BT, let's talk about the Giants for a second. We haven't gotten into that. Whether it's Dable, Shane, what they do moving forward, Belichick, obviously, name out there. We'll do that and continue with the calls as well on Soto, 888-808-1019.